On this episode of Japan 2.0.
Ah, yes. We dreamed of this happening. There's two singing groups, and we joke they're very far apart. We're like, what if they came over and like had a battle?
It is.
I think there's the pink versus the green right now.
You gotta get some photos so we could see the sing off.
It's totally
like it really is a standoff right now, which is unbelievable.
Welcome to Japan 2.0.
Yeah, this is kind of in the middle of the story, but this will be our introduction. I'm Matt.
This is David.
And you've already heard from us throughout the episode. I'm sure you've heard our harrowing story of traveling to Tokyo and meeting up together.
Some old guys doing young guy traveling things. This is volume 2. If you didn't go back and listen to volume 1, I think this would work without that, but you can hear about how we kind of got here and our feelings going into this trip and how excited we were, you know?
Yeah, and a little bit about how David and I met and how Tokyo was such an important, you know, part of us, our friendship, you know?
Yeah.
And finding each other and then finding, like, our similarities and our appreciation for this awesome, awesome city.
Yeah, but basically we dreamed of doing what we're doing right now, which is coming to Tokyo together and just kind of hanging out. And we've done it before with our families, you know, but this is our first time just completely doing it together. And we're going to tell the tale of how it's gone. We're on our last day, you know, it's too short, as always.
Yeah, way too short, but it was an awesome trip, you know, and because of the short time, you know, we ended up sticking around neighborhoods that we kind of known, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we didn't really venture out much, but
we went to new
places. We did a lot of new things. Yeah.
New places in those same neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
One thing that David and I always talk about is just like looking at places, and we always think, oh, this would be a good place to go, and there's a reason why we wouldn't be able to go. You know, like the other people we're with, you know, wouldn't want to eat that kind of food or go to a bar at, you know, past a certain time. And in this case, you know, we're just like, yeah, if we want to go to this bar or we want to try this weird restaurant, let's just do it.
Yeah, this is going to kind of be a theme of this episode, I think, but talking about kind of like very specialized things, you know. And Matt and I are people who like specialized things. And for example, like last night, we ate beef tongue, you know, and I've wanted to go to this beef tongue place for a while. I've known about it. It's hard to go with kids, and then it's hard to find someone who like wants to use one of their like rare meals in Tokyo, you know, to eat beef tongue.
Yeah.
Even when we were there, the guy would kind of like beckon people in, you know, would walk down this alleyway, and like the other foreigners, he'd be like, beef tongue, gonna come in and get some beef tongue. Two times these guys went up and down, you know, and they just kind of like shook their head and kind of like, not my thing, man. Yeah, that's a little too weird, you know?
Yeah.
He kind of gave the guy some attitude back. Yeah, and that's probably the general consensus, you know, for a lot of things I want to do is not other people's things, so.
Yeah, after we ate the beef tongue, the guy said, like, oh, I'm relieved you liked it, you know, like, I think they were nervous that, yeah, some foreigners especially, you know, and maybe not as adventurous. I wouldn't say, I think a lot of people that come to Japan, and especially a lot of people that come to Tokyo, are a little more, you know, open to, like, check things out, but yeah, we like to go a little bit off the beaten path and check out the things that might not necessarily be the first tourist spots, you know?
Yeah, that's right. We didn't do any sushi, any ramen. I think I gotta mend that ramen, though, on this trip. I'm gonna have to eat ramen today. But yeah, we tried, you know, some different stuff. That was something called a yokocho, which I've always wanted to do. Yokocho is just like a word for like a drinking alley, I guess is like the name. And they're kind of like grimy and lots of like small little izakaya. And that was Ebis Yokocho.
Yeah, they have like a very home feel where everybody knows everybody and
very lively, chatty. Yeah. It'd be a great place if you're by yourself, I think, to meet people, you know? just small little places that are kind of grimy, have a lot of character. And if you've ever heard of Golden Guy, which is a really famous kind of tourist place in Shinjuku, I would recommend Ebis Yokocho over that. It's a little more local feel.
the sitting fees aren't crazy.
Aren't as high. I think there still was a sitting fee. But yeah, it's a little bit cooler. And Nevis is an awesome neighborhood.
I think, too, you know, a lot of times people say that in Tokyo, people keep to themselves and they're reserved. Mm. And this, going to these places are a really good way to, like, break the ice and meet people that are they're really friendly, willing to talk, you know, excited to talk. And, you know, so, yeah, I would recommend that to anybody planning a trip out here.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. We went to a bunch of capital places in Ebis, too, right before that.
That's right.
There's three capital clothing stores. I did a podcast about all about that company before, how much I liked it, but you've never really talked about it. What was kind of your experience going to those three shops, and what did you think about it all?
Well, you've always told me that Capitol always has interesting buildings and interesting, like, architecture and design. And we were walking around in the rain, so it was kind of like a weird day. There was a typhoon.
Yeah. There was, like, a 45-degree wind rain, like an umbrella-breaking rain.
Yeah. But didn't stop us.
Yeah, we still walked quite a distance to get there.
And getting to these places, it is like going to kind of like another world, you know. That's very, they have a very earthy aesthetic, you know, like down, it's bohemian, but it's yet it's modern at the same time. And but their buildings are really strange and unique, and every single one was kind of like going to like a mini museum. And I remember coming into one, I needed to make a phone call, and they had this whole waiting area with couches made out of denim and stuff, and it was such a comfortable little place to take a break.
It's like a garage or something.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And then of course the clothing is super interesting. I mean, I recommend you go back and listen to the Capitol episode that David did and check out, like, you know, why the clothes are so interesting. But the people in the Capitol stores are so friendly. Yeah. And that's one thing that always sticks out whenever I go into those places with you, is that a lot of times you go into a Beams. I'm throwing Beams under the bus right now. I'm wearing some Beams right now.
It's a company we like, but it's got like a cool attitude to it, right?
Yeah, that's, and people have like that not friendly vibe, like standoffish. Or I'm sure, you know, if you really got to, you know, to chat with people, they'd open up some. But, you know, I don't always feel like they're trying to be, you know, helpful, right, or friendly.
Yeah,
and I think that's common. I would say, like, in California, you get the same vibe if you go to, like, a really pretentious, like, you know.
When the price increases, it's kind of odd. Maybe the service is still good, but, like, it seems like the friendliness is, like, a barrier of entry. You know, like, people, like, put up a wall, you know. But Capitol is an expensive place for sure, but it's not like that. And I'm always shy about trying on clothes, especially when I know, like, I didn't have money on me yesterday. I knew there was 0% chance that I was going to buy the stuff I was going to try on. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to, like, see if I wanted to come back, you know, and get it. And I always feel bad about that. Like, I'm going to waste their time. They're going to have to, like, refold this and stuff. And I don't know. I feel like sometimes at another shop, if I try on and buy it, I get this attitude, like, yeah, we didn't, like, you don't look like you're going to, like, spend all this money, you know. But at Capitol, it's just very, like, you want to try this on? It's, like, fun. It's, like, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of, like, kids playing dress-up or something like that, you know?
Yeah, even for me walking around while David was looking at, like, the clothes he was interested in, you know, I'm not going to buy anything from Capitol, at least not yet. We were talking about this as well off mic, but maybe I will get into Capitol. We'll see. But the people were coming up to me and asking me if I wanted to try on stuff, and I even tried on a jacket. And they're super cool about it, you know. They just want you to, like, put on their clothes, you know.
They never ask, like, do you want to buy it, you know?
Or yeah,
anything like that, you know.
Yeah. And another thing too is that, like, a lot of times I'll be looking through clothes in a lot of department stores and stuff, and immediately as soon as I touch something, somebody comes over and tries to, like, fix it again. Mm. In Capitol, I noticed they don't do that as often. Like, some people do. There was one Capitol store we went in. I picked up some pants. And the girl ran over and, like started, like, fixing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I noticed, like, that wasn't going on, so that was cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Each store has a theme, but, you know, it feels different. You know, at the same time, they carry different stuff. And, yeah, if you're interested in, like, Japanese clothes at all, which are definitely a thing, like, Japan's kind of famous for fashion, that's definitely a company I recommend checking out. They all speak English at all their stores, and Tokyo has, like, 8 different shops, which is a lot, you know. There's three within, like, a 5-minute walk.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even if you're not planning on buying something, I recommend at least checking out a Capital clothing shop. And I have fun going to them, and I'm not like a, clothes shopper, you know.
Yeah.
But I always enjoy myself, you know.
Mm. Another cool thing we did was went to Jimbo Show, which is right where we left off the last episode. We were meeting together there, and that was my first time in that neighborhood, actually.
Yeah,
and it's known for like vintage books and that. Yeah, that place had a really unique vibe of its own. You know, the book areas are definitely kind of like old and that worn feel you'd want from like a used bookstore, but you just go like two streets over and it's just like fancy, nice, sophisticated Tokyo, you know. And that, being there just kind of made me realize like you can get off at any station in like central Tokyo. There's probably like so much cool stuff, and we always go to like the ones that we like, you know, but I kind of just want to like randomly, like blindly throw a dart, you know, at the Tokyo subway station map one day and just go to a place. I think you find cool stuff, you know?
Yeah, we didn't do it so much this trip, you know, you and I don't, we didn't have a lot of time, and there was a lot of things we wanted to do and see, or places that we wanted to go and areas we wanted to be in. But when the previous time I came with my wife, we had a lot of extra time and we just really didn't have any plans, you know. We were meeting up with you guys and doing like some of the things you did. And then after that, it was just like whatever we felt like doing. And we ended up walking around Azabu. Is that right?
Yeah, Azabu. Yeah. Near Roppongi.
Yeah. And we found a whole bunch of cool cafes and like little shops that sold like cool art and cool like cutlery and then great food and stuff. And I mean, we just kept coming across all this stuff. And it was just because we were walking around, you know. It wasn't like we had a plan to find anything, you know. Like you said, it doesn't matter. You could kind of just put your finger on a map and then go there and find something that speaks to you or something that's interesting, you know?
Yeah. Azabu is not a place a lot of people talk about, but it's like where a lot of like diplomats and stuff live. So there's like this weird Western culture. And I guess if you're just coming here for a couple of days, it's not interesting. But if you live in Japan, I think Azabu is kind of this cool mix of like Western stuff you might miss, you know, with Japanese. It's very high end and fancy and...
Yeah, but like we ate there and stuff, and things weren't as expensive, like as, I mean, no different than being in Harajuku or Shibuya or anything. So that's another, I think that's another misconception about that people have about Tokyo, is that like you're going to go into these neighborhoods that are like the more ritzy neighborhoods or the more expensive neighborhoods and be spending a lot more money. That really is, if this trip is proven anything, it's, you know, Tokyo is as expensive as you make it, right?
Yeah, well, let's talk about that a little bit. I focused on that a little bit right before in the previous episode, you know. But my budget was, $50 a day on, like, eating to train. And then I figured I'd probably spend another $50 a day on, like, buying records or clothes or stuff like that. So I brought $500. I was here for 5 days. So that's the math that worked out there. I ran out of my $500, like, pretty much this morning on the last day. I still have like eight more hours, you know, so I'll have to go to the bank, and I'm planning to go back to Capital and buy some expensive stuff. But that to me, I realized like, all right, I'm gonna obviously,
that's from like your clothing budget.
That's but, and I felt I tried to be really cheap on this trip, actually. I felt like I was trying to cut back or eat at the convenience store a little bit more, get coffees from the convenience store. I was very conscious of money on this trip because like it's my money, actually, but my family's not here, and I don't know. I just feel it's easier for me to cut corners, I thought, but I don't know. Maybe it's not. Have you been kind of conscious of your spending, and do you feel like you're spending more than you thought you should? And
yeah, so like you, I brought $400. Okay. And
you're here for 3 days?
I was here for 3 days, and right now I'm on the last, like, $60 or so, you know. So I'm still in budget, but I did just stop at the bank and pull out, like, another $150, so... that's going to go to like omiyage and like, you know, gifts for people when I return. But, I feel like I did a pretty good, we did a pretty good job. And I think we took a risk. We were going into like a couple of restaurants we'd never been to before.
We had Chinese
food in Jimbo Cho. We had like Mexican, we went to a Mexican bar and,
Awesome. That's Nakanegro, you know. Yeah, Matt and I were debating last night, you know, the favorite neighborhoods. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah, and those places were cheap. Like, they weren't that bad. Like, all things considered, like, normal priced foods and stuff. And there is a risk of like choosing a place and sitting down and them saying like, all right, it's 30 bucks per person, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And the beef tongue place is a little bit expensive.
But we just split it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we split like a $15 piece of beef tongue. Yeah. And actually, it was it wasn't just one chunk. It was two pieces that they cut.
It was a decent size, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I really didn't need to eat that extra taco I ate, you know, afterwards because, yeah. But.
I feel we got pretty lucky with a lot of the new stuff we tried. We're in Yoyogi Park right now, which is on the side of Harajuku, and it's Matt's first time coming out here.
Yeah, and never been. But it's a place of great history for me, you know? Like, I love the history of this park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty wild. We got, like, a singing theater group. Probably can't hear them, but it's pretty funny. They're just screaming weird pitches and tones and jumping around. But yeah, any other big things we hit?
I mean, we did a lot of record shopping, and you know, that always is a lot of fun for me. You know, I mean, Japan has, I think recently they said the most amount of record stores in the world, like in Tokyo.
But I saw a guy out here, like, I think he was from Australia, about his accent, and he brought his kid, she's probably like 6 years old, and just gave her a laptop, and she was watching movies and had headphones on, and she was just in the corner of the record store. These record stores in Japan are really tight quarters, like, you can't bring a suitcase in there even, you know, and yeah, this girl's just in the corner, watching TV with headphones on, and the dude's like digging, he was frantic, he was like running around though, you know, like, trying not to make her wait, but I was just like, I have a kid, and I was like, man. First of all, my kid would never do that. He's younger. But, yeah, and that shows you how much people come out here, I think, to go record shopping, even with their families or whatever. You know, you got to get out and do it.
I mean, something that you mentioned there made me think of that this trip was the least frantic, I feel, like my trips have been. Mm. And maybe it's because I just knew I had a short amount of time, and I was like, I better not set, like, some expectations to, you know, make sure I do everything I would ever want to do, because I think then I would have been too stressed, because sometimes, you know, when you do come with a larger group of people, it is harder to, like, you know, coordinate everything so everybody gets enough time to do things. For us this time, I mean, you and I have very similar tastes and similar interests, so I mean, checking things out, we were just like, yeah, if we do it, we do it, you know, and it was kind of like a relaxed trip to Tokyo, which I don't know if I've ever fully experienced, you know. Yeah. I feel like my first time to Tokyo, I didn't come with a lot of plans, but this time, but ever since then, it's been like, okay, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to do this, we want to do that. And my wife and I, we've had some moments, but
I always live, my attitude with Tokyo is I always want to come here and act like if I lived here. You know what I mean? Like, just live, like, a local life and just go out to eat. Maybe I'm doing, like, more, like, shopping, you know, than if I lived here. But I always try to just kind of stay in local neighborhoods and kind of stay off the main roads, you know, and just find little small places and kind of leisurely. I come to the park for a couple hours sometimes, you know, and just chill.
Yeah.
We go to classical music cafes, like Lion Cafe. We got to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Lion Cafe in Shibuya was amazing. David was telling me, oh, I've heard about this cafe. We got to go check it out.
We've been like hitting Shibuya pretty hard all day for like, we were probably like 6 hours there. Just record shopping.
Hustle and bustle.
The city, you know, it was raining and stuff. And for me, I was kind of like wiped out, and I knew I needed caffeine, but I also like just kind of needed a break from it all. You know, if there's just people everywhere, it's like sensory overload.
Yeah.
And this place popped into my mind, and I was like, I don't know. This could be a big fail, but I think this is kind of the thing that we kind of need right now. And I didn't tell Matt much. I just said, hey, I got the place in mind. I'm surprised. I looked it up, and I was like, man, I can't believe it's right in the heart of Shibuya, right by the Love Motel District, too. I didn't tell him much about it. And what was it?
It was this place that advertised a 3D surround system.
Yes.
So when we walked in the doors, there was this huge speaker up above. It looked like a church.
The ceiling at one point in like the center was like 80 feet high, 100 feet high. But then it's like a circle, and then around that is like normal ceiling.
And then all the chairs, I was looking around like, oh, where's a seat? Like, yeah, we could sit together, you know, and check this out. Each chair is kind of like it's like an old school room with just like a desk and a chair, and you're just facing
the speaker, and they make it so the chairs are not next to each other. There are actually maybe like two sets that were next to each other, but it's almost purposely put so you can't sit next to someone because you're not allowed to.
talk. Yeah. Right before we came, David said, there's no talking in this
cafe. I thought if I told him that, you might not want to go. Like, if we're going to go to a place where you can't talk to me.
And I was so tired of talking with David this point.
That's why I went there. So we right before I was like, hey, by the way, no talking. And we just go in. And even just figure out how to order. There's two old guys there. One was sleeping. The other one was like on his phone. I was surprised he was on his phone, actually.
He was on his phone, but he also had like books. He had like a whole spread of like work he was doing.
And we kind of had to figure out how to order. Like, do you sit down or like, do I seek this lady out? And she didn't really help us, you know?
Yeah. In other episodes, we've talked about how like saying, hailing people over, you know, by saying sumimasen is kind of difficult for us. So imagine putting us in a place where we can't talk and then we have to get somebody to come over. Yeah. But actually the woman was really attentive and I was kind of impressed by just the way she was organizing the situation.
I really would like love to sit down and talk with that girl. Because
she was fascinating.
Let's describe this place just a little bit more just so you can know how weird it is. So like, got the 3D surround system, which is ancient technology, by the way. It's probably a 60s, 50s.
They said this place was open in
1927.
And so everything is old. It's like ancient stuff. Absolutely. It's like going in like your great aunt's like house that
raising her from the crypt.
And it had that smell of like old decay, kind of like.
Yeah, it's very dark in there too. Like, there's just like these like yellow bulb lights. You know, you're like looking. You expect to see spider webs. I can't believe there weren't spider webs in there. But the sound system thing is just crazy. It looks like an organ, but it's the speakers risen up. These wooden speakers, and there's Ludwig von Beethoven's head just like right in the center. And all the chairs, remember, are facing this. There's a second story.
Yeah.
By the way, like a balcony too that faces it too.
I missed that. Yeah,
I didn't see it, but when I was looking online, I saw it. You know. And it's almost like worshiping him. There's like these, I don't think you can see the pictures because they're on a pillar, but there's like all these pictures of him too up there, you know? And it definitely felt like a bit like cult-like, you know?
Yeah. It felt like I said, it felt like being in a church and you were in the pews and you're worshiping the sound, you know? And they had all these record players like really high, like the hi-fi, you know, probably belt-driven or magnetic-driven record players. And it's just a whole wall of, like, classical records. Mm. And
the girl, so anyway, we set the scene. The girl who works there is, like, 25, like, young, like, typical, like,
really
Harajuku girl, you know, like, doesn't look super artsy or anything. And I was like, how did she even find out about this job and, like, to do this? Does she know about, is she the one who chooses the music? Because like the curation of the music would be really important, right? We ordered our coffee and it's all whisper talk about it. Okay. And it's super weird like that, and then they come out and brought it out, and it's just like average coffee, maybe even slightly below average coffee. It's $5, and for the whole experience is totally worth it.
And the coffee wasn't great, but, you know, it was good enough that it gave us a good caffeine buzz to continue our journey.
Well, I'm glad we stayed long enough to see her switch a record.
Yeah.
Because the record ends.
That was the best part.
And she runs over there and chooses a new one.
Well, there's this microphone.
Yeah. She turns on the mic and there's the hum of the mic. I'm like, what is going to happen? I was so excited. I was like, she's going to sing or like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But what did she do?
Oh, so she turns on the mic and she just starts reading the liner notes from the record that she had just played. Mm. And so she was talking about whoever it was. You know, I'm not real familiar with classical music, but she's just like reading the liner notes from the insert inside. And then she puts it away, gets another record, puts it on the platter, and then it all starts over again.
Yeah. She like really gave like some big detail to the record. It kind of gave me the idea of like, wouldn't it be cool to have a place like that? It was like hip hop or rock or punk music, you know? Or like you give some like history behind the album, and you just go there to listen to the music and play it.
Yeah,
I think that would work somewhere in the world.
Yeah, I feel like there's some potential there, but it was just such an odd place, and obviously it attracts tourists because while we were in there, some tourists came in right before while we were leaving. And but it just seems like a place where a lot of local guys go to get away from like all the craziness of city life.
Definitely, that's what it was.
Yeah, it was. That was really cool.
You're gonna get to hear some of the singing coming up soon.
Oh yeah. So one of the things that happens at the parks is there's a lot of people singing, and practicing like
loud things,
choir singing.
Well, things that you live in these small apartments in Tokyo, right? So you can't do loud things because you bother the neighbors. So Yogi Park's kind of famous as like everyone's backyard in Tokyo because we don't have backyards. So people come here to like play music and stuff, and they turn the other way,
play the saxophone and things like that.
Yeah, walk the rabbit.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's probably time to take a break, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about our travels.
Back, and we're going to talk a little bit about our experience on the buses. In the previous episode, I'm sure you heard us kind of talk about our experience to riding the overnight bus to Tokyo.
Yeah. But Matt's kind of held off telling me about how he feels about it overall. We've given each other some previews, you know, of our initial feelings, but we actually try sometimes not to talk about things just so it doesn't sound fake on the podcast, you know?
Yeah, I think I mentioned last episode, I initially told David, don't tell me like, you know, about your experience, because he was leaving before I was, and I didn't want to be colored, you know, like if he had a terrible experience, I'd be like, you know, preparing for a terrible experience, and I wanted to go into it fresh, and I did, and I will say that it was inexpensive, which goes back to the beginning of our episode. We were talking about how things can be cheaper, you know, and we save money by taking the bus.
How much money did you save?
About half, I think. Like, I mean, the Shinkansen tickets typically cost about
300.
Yeah, somewhere around there. And I think, what did we pay, 160?
I paid 180. Because I got like the nicer seat on the way here. And when I do my Shinkansen tickets, I always buy the discount ones from my lady in town.
Oh, yeah.
So they're 280 usually. So I saved $100, I realized, in the end. Mm-hmm. Which is why I said in my previous one, I really doubt that this would be worthwhile doing again. Just because, like, I don't know, for $100. I probably spent $100 total on my records on this trip.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I paid for all my records.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's nice.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can sleep. However, the sleep wasn't great. The overnight buses do stop and take every 2 hours so people could use the toilet.
Mm.
And luckily, I mean, I usually sleep through the night. I don't usually have to use the toilet that badly.
Mm.
And I was careful. We talked about off mic about how we would drink, like, limit our water intake so we didn't have to use the toilet in the
bus.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you use strategies like that, and I typically do that on any long trip anyway. But,
yeah, I talked about before. Oh, yes.
Uh-oh.
We dreamed of this happening. There's two singing groups, and we joked. They're very far apart. We're like, what if they came over and, like, had a battle?
I think there's
the pink versus the green right now.
You got to get some photos so we could see the sing-off.
It's totally
like
gonna
it
be.
Really is a standoff right now, which is unbelievable.
It's
I've
like
never seen anything
the,
like
the
this.
The Warriors.
Yeah, come out and play. But they're, like, staring each other down. They're sizing each other up right now.
Oh, they're making the Yakuza sounds.
Yeah, very, like...
They think it's...
Yeah, Yonki, like, inspired chanting and stuff. And they haven't come together yet. There's a pink and there's green. Fluorescent green and pink shirts on. So you know who's on
pink,
which team.
Pink's backing down. It looks like... These are college-age kids, Virginia, you say. They must be in a college or something.
Yeah. I would say college students. And, yeah,
it looks like our podcasting spot
is blowing
might not
up,
be working for too much longer.
I don't know.
They're setting up shop over here.
It sounded loud, but now I think they're going to eat or something.
Okay.
So
right.
I think we're all right.
Stand down. Yeah. Stand down.
If there's music that goes on, though, you're going to get to hear it. This is a special special bonus, you know, for the Japan 2.0 peoples.
It makes me miss being in college, kind of, actually.
Oh, man, I miss it sometimes.
I
miss being young, you know? course.
The youth there.
Not to get too cynical here, but so the bus, I feel like on the 9-hour ride, I got about 5 hours of sleep.
Yeah, I think I did it similar. Like, every time we stopped, I'd wake up, and then I would sleep for like an hour and a half, you know? So I think I got enough sleep. I didn't really, the rest of the day, I mean, maybe it was just the adrenaline from being in Tokyo again and getting, like you said, getting the vibes, the Tokyo vibes.
Tokyo energy, yeah.
And, I didn't really notice, you know, being exhausted or anything, you know?
For me, the first 3 hours of that day were definitely rough, and I was like, dude, this is nothing to do, and I'm tired, and I remember that feeling being kind of bad. But when I recorded the podcast then, I know I realized that I was happier than I thought, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just like a minute or two I felt that way. But why wouldn't you do it again either then? Because you're making it sound like
So these are the good aspects, okay? But the bad aspect is the seats are just not comfortable. You know, like, I mean, for me, they have like this big curve in the spine, and, you know, my spine just doesn't fit, you know, my scoliosis or whatever. And I just couldn't get comfortable no matter what.
Mm.
They don't give you a pillow. They just have like a little headrest, like that's adjustable. It's like supposed to be your pillow.
Yeah.
But that thing was like flimsy and kept sliding down. Mm. And it was going between my head and my neck, like my shoulders.
Mm.
And like in that gap right there, like it would disappear, you know, like I couldn't even like rest my head on it. And
I'm a little worried because I didn't have that seat, but I had that seat coming back, right? That it's going to be like such a downgrade. I thought the seat was quite comfortable, actually, on mine. So I don't know if it's just a difference or what.
It was narrow, and I think for a lot of people, you know, it would be really difficult to be in there.
Mm.
Dave and I are both very, pretty skinny guys.
We're tall.
Yeah, we're tall and we're skinny. Mm. The height wasn't so bad. Like I didn't feel like the
legs.
Yeah, the leg room wasn't. It's the same as a airplane, maybe. Mm-hmm. So I do fine on airplanes. That usually isn't a problem for me.
Yeah,
but it's narrow. And actually, when you're sitting in the, because the seats I was in were two people pretty very close together, and a like a plastic divider on both sides. So you really couldn't like stretch out any, or that divider is there, you can't move it. So, you know, I mean, if I was any bigger, like I think it would be a lot more difficult to take that.
That's something to keep in mind, you know, for people.
Also,
the hood thing's cool, right?
Yeah, the hood thing's cool, and I can't wait. Yeah, you tell me about the hood, because I
didn't have a hood. I have like a 360. I had a 360 curtain that goes around me like this. So it's like a curtain that goes up like this.
Yeah.
And it blocks out the light mostly everywhere. But, you know, I saw the hood things. This seems like a good idea. Is it not?
Okay, so there are these hoods. They look like kind of like a stroller, like for a child.
That's
like,
a good way to put it.
It pulls down and it goes over your head.
Does it go over like your chin? Like how far down does it go?
It goes, yeah, about to below your chin.
Okay.
But it doesn't cover, like, you can't block out all the light, you know, especially when the bus first leaves, the lights are on.
Yeah.
And then at about maybe 10, 11 o'clock, they turn off all the lights. But the problem that I had with this is my head, I guess, is probably because I'm tall, you know. Mm. So I was kind of hitting the top of it.
Yeah.
And it really put it in my face. And the thing,
so it was like touching your face.
It's kind of like touching my nose and pretty close to my mouth.
Mm.
And I would say it kind of had an odor. Like,
okay.
I don't know how well they clean those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what like their regimen is, you know, their sanitation regimen.
Yeah.
So, like, I was a little bit, like, concerned.
Skeezed out, as they say.
Yeah. And I felt like it also, yeah, the smell was basically what probably bugged me the most.
Mm.
Once all the lights were off, there were times when I'd lift it up and I'd you know, just rest without it.
Mm.
And it was fine. I didn't have any problems. But then there were times when I would they'd stop at the stops, I'd pull it back down again just because I felt like it this is the experience, you know?
Dark enough, though. Like, once it hits, like, 11 or whatever, was it dark enough not to use that?
Yeah, so another thing they do is they curtain off all the windows in the bus. So, like, in most buses, they have, like, curtains or drapes that come down.
Yeah.
This one is, like, you were telling me about this, too. It's like, they're, like, sealed shut.
Bolted, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know sometimes,
really,
like,
peek through.
I was trying to see, like, are we stopped or not? Like, it's hard to tell if you're going or stopping. I want to know, like, am I at a rest stop, you know? I was trying to, like, look out the window, and it was hard. It kind of made me claustrophobic, honestly.
I was going to say, like, if you're claustrophobic, I don't think this is a good choice for you. Also, you know, you're in a vehicle, so there's a lot of shaking, and there's a lot of, like, you know, jerking and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like flying with turbulence, like, the whole time, you know? And I don't know if it's where I was on the bus. Like, maybe if you're closer to the shock-absorbing system
Yeah.
But where I was at, it was kind of rattly.
I felt it was, too, in the back. I thought back of the bus is probably the worst for that, but it sounds like we had the same experience.
Yeah, it might not be any different anywhere but in the bus. But I thought it was pretty I mean, the actual ride itself was pretty smooth. And like you said, like, I didn't really notice the stops and stuff.
Yeah.
But if you don't mind, like, a little bit of bumping and you're used to road trips and stuff, I think you'd be fine with that.
I think if you're young, slash you have time, slash $100 or $150 means a lot to you, do it. But if those things I just said, you know, aren't that important to you in time, you know, you got a 3-hour trip on the Shinkansen from Kansai to Tokyo, or you got a, you know, 9-hour overnight trip, this, you might not sleep very much, you know, but you save $100 to $150.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can decide from there. But
yeah, you're really close to other people, too. So that's another consideration. This is my last thing about the trip. When I first got in, there was nobody behind me, so I reclined the seat, and reclining the seat's great. Like, you could get a lot more comfortable that way and get more sleep.
You didn't leave it like that?
Well, here's the story. So at the second stop, I don't know where we stopped at, but they were picking up more people, Yokohama or something, you know. There was a couple that came in, and they squeezed in behind me. I wasn't even reclined, like, all the way, but I was really comfortable. I was already sleeping.
Yeah.
And they came in behind me, and they already had given a speech that was like, you know, be mindful. More people are coming in. You're going to have to move your seat up.
And
please
ask
them when you're putting it back.
That was a big rule of, like, saying, like, I'm going to move down my seat. Like, excuse me.
Yeah. And, whoever was behind me was really, like, either they didn't have room or they didn't like that my seat was down, because I was woken up by punches to my seat. Like, someone was, like, punching my seat.
Whoa.
And it was this Chinese couple that was, like, behind me. And then they were, like, hitting my seat. Like, it must have been on purpose, because as soon as I lifted it up, just, like, a, you know, some, like,
it stopped.
So I think they were just, like,
was the person in front of you that had their seat back?
No, because I was at the front of the bus.
Ah, okay. All right.
So there was, like, a special, like bed that was in front of me that, like, people could lay in.
See, I had the extreme back seat of the bus, so putting my seat back, there's no one behind me.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's something to think about. It's something you'll get to experience when we go back tonight.
Yeah. So, yeah, I tried something new. It was definitely an adventure. There's an excitement to it all, you know?
Oh.
And I'm like, and I'm glad I did it, you know, but I just want to do it again.
Yeah, I don't regret doing it at all. Yeah. I think it was an amazing experience. It's given me some stories, you know, like, I mean,
go back,
we had a lot
itself
to talk about. And
stopping at, like, the rest stops and stuff, did you ever go out through
that? I didn't go out. No, because I was just trying to sleep, you know?
It's a lot like the American ones, you know, like, they got, like, food everywhere, and it's crazy at, like, 2 a.m. These places are just packed full of people all driving, I guess.
Yeah.
Lots of other buses there, you know, doing the same thing. So it's just kind of a whole little world, secret world of night buses.
Were there convenies and stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a convenience store. None of the big brands. It's not, like, Family Mart. It's, like, some weird brand, you know?
Yeah.
Tons of vending machines, this massive bathrooms, and they even have, like, little cafes and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but you only get 20 minutes, so you can't get too comfortable there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's it on the bus.
Yeah.
We kind of just wanted to say some kind of, like, last minute, nothing really new, but kind of, like, cemented certain feelings we had about the differences between Kansai and Osaka and Tokyo.
Yeah, we recently did an episode of it was Tokyo versus Osaka, yeah, right? Yeah. And we were talking about which city, you know, is better and stuff. And it always is one of those things where I think about we were getting a lot more of like the chains and stuff that originated in Tokyo and Osaka.
A lot of things we used to come out here just to go like eat there, or shop there, is now come out to Osaka or Kobe.
Yeah, yeah, and it's becoming less and less of a reason to come to Tokyo, yeah, right? Or at least in our heads, that was kind of what we were. I don't think you and I particularly felt this way, but I think a lot of people are starting to feel that way.
What's so special about Tokyo, you know, what they have that we don't have?
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say, like, I was starting to get that feeling like, oh, what am I going to do in Tokyo? Because, you know, some of the my favorite places have closed down, or, you know, some you know, a lot of the places that we go to, you know, they have them in Osaka, right? But what happened was, I got here and I was like, I remember why I love Tokyo. I remember why Tokyo is special, you know? And it's...
Why is that?
Well, it's just the vibe of the city, and I know that could be nebulous, but I think it's the entrepreneurial spirit that, like, people have. You know, there's a lot of people that are running these businesses in very expensive parts of the neighborhoods, but they're not trying to, like, upsell you and, you know, get in your face or not pushy or anything. They're just like living like the cool Tokyo, like a cool city life, and doing something they really like and enjoy. You know, we went to this donut place that's amazing, and I'm trying to push a donut episode, yeah, a Tokyo donut episode or a Japan donut episode. But the people in there are really friendly, and the vibe is so cool, and it's a place that you don't have anywhere else in Japan. You know, it really is only...
Yeah, we got places that do like a almost as good donut out in Osaka, but the issue is that it's just not reliable for donuts. Like, yeah, they sometimes have donuts and they're really good, but you go there often and they don't have donuts, you know? So
yeah,
it's kind of hit or miss.
And the other thing too is just the concentration of things to do and places to see.
Yeah.
I was talking about right by our hotel, there's like no end to like the amount of things that we could do. Every day you could go to a new place and never see it all. And yeah, Osaka has that to some extent. Kyoto has that to some extent, but not on the scale and not in like the concentration that Tokyo has.
There's a lot of variety and high concentration. I think Tokyo, the way I kind of put it, is a place if you like specialized things. And I kind of started off the episode laying that groundwork, right?
Yeah.
Of like, yeah, if you want to eat beef tongue in like a crazy drinking alley, you know, with like mushrooms, fake mushrooms growing everywhere and stuff, you're going to find that there. If there's a specialized like clothing collaboration, you know, that you like, it's not going to be in any other city in the world. That's for you. I talked about going to like Nike Lab before. That's here too. Yeah, we talk about records, you know, it has the most record shops in the world. So if you like unique things, if you're into subcultures, if you have something you love, there's a certain artist you like, let's say, and they have like a museum exhibit, it's going to be in Tokyo, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're just happy to go out shopping at H&M and The Gap and drinking coffee at Starbucks and, you know, eating at, I don't know, wherever, you can see what I'm saying. Sure, Osaka, Kobe, Nagoya, we'll have all that, right? And that's probably all that matters to you when you go to a city. But yeah, if you're looking for kind of one-off, unique mom-and-pop shops, like, yeah, entrepreneur ventures where people are taking weird risks to do new things, Tokyo's doing that. And I'm always seeking, like, what's new and what's fresh. And I'm, like, obsessed with finding, like, the next new crazy thing. So,
yeah. But at the same point, this attitude isn't new. And that classical cafe lion that we went to,
yeah,
it proves that, you know.
Yeah, it's been around since 1927.
They've been like opening like these weird places to like, you know, attract people to something that they're passionate about. And I went in there and for a minute I was passionate about classical music, which is like a genre I never listened to, you know?
I think it's something that we always like as people who are just extremely passionate about something. Even if I could care less about it, I think we talked about it a lot in the show, you get some kind of energy or just good feeling, like watching someone just master something, you know? And I think you see that happening a lot in Tokyo, as people are trying to really get that 10 out of 10 or really master what it is, their craft, you know? Because you have to. It does have that dog-eat-dog kind of city in terms of, like, surviving as a business, you know? There's just so much competition. It's got to be expensive.
But you wouldn't know. We went into this bar that was a music bar, and this guy was DJing, and it probably made me closer to death than I've ever been because the song had, like, this screamy tone that was unbelievable.
Killing our ears, yeah.
But I'll tell you what. That whole experience, I would go back to that place even if they play that song again because the people there were so nice.
Just right when you walk in, it's straight up, hey, what's your name? Here's my name. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Like, they run to the door to, like, tell you that, you know? Like, that was in all the bars I've been to in my life, I've never had the bartender just go straight up right away and, like, introduce themselves. Like, it's like a friend introducing you to another friend, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people were super friendly. We had, like, I don't know, just a great experience, you know, meeting these kind of, like, these spirits, you know, like-minded people, you know, and I think that's what attracts me back. I could kind of relate to these people. I wish I had, like, the means to open up my own cafe or bar or donut shop or, you know, something. And that's the other part of Tokyo I love. Yeah. And that is that every time I come here, I tend to make goals for myself, or I get an idea that I think, like, you know, this, there's a little something to this idea, you know? It's a very creative environment. And I always find I leave Tokyo taking a little piece of it with me, you know? And it just sticks with me, and it's kind of become a part of me, you know?
Yeah.
That sounds cheesy, but I really do feel that, you know?
As teachers, our summer break is coming to an end, and it's always a very sad time. We've been given, like, 2 months of vacation to go back to work.
Now I'm crying.
And I get really sad, like, oh, man, I'm just not ready to go back. How am I going to do it? And knowing that this trip was coming right before for me was, like, my only saving grace. Because I knew every time I come here, yeah, I get, like, inspired. I feel recharged. And I feel like, okay, like, I'm rested. I feel good about the world again. Like, everything's positive, and I'm so happy to, like, be living here, you know? I think that happened. We'll see how that bus ride home goes, but
yeah, it might change our
I think opinion. I'm ready to go back to work next week, you know. I feel like I got to do some cool stuff.
No, I thought it was a great vacation. As brief as it was, you know, I mean, it did, like I said, it recharges us, you know. And it makes us excited to do a Japan 2.0 episode for you guys. So
I'm going to end with a question before we wrap up.
Sure.
Just to give people kind of a feel of our Tokyo. We talked about this already, but if you live anywhere in Tokyo, right? You win the lottery or you retire with lots of money. Where's your new house or apartment going to be?
I mean, mine's an old answer. I'd always say Ebis, you know. I think, like,
we spent a lot of time there yesterday. So, as we were walking around, you know, you were, like, taking it all in. What is it about Ebis?
Yeah, I mean, it's capital really kind of, like, the way we describe the capital stores is kind of what I like about Ebis. There's a lot of, like, cool things there, but they're not advertised, you know. There's no huge billboard that says capital, you know. It's actually the biggest signs that they had on there did not say capital at all.
What, they said Japanese other, geek? Was that one?
Yeah, Japanese geek, yeah. And I think that I think I like that attitude. I was telling David that it's like expensive city, like, you know, you could tell, like, an apartment there and rich people, or, you know, it's rich people with nice cars, BMWs and stuff, you know, in this part of town. But it's pretentious without it's rich without being pretentious, you know, like, it's nice without being pretentious. And it's kind of bohemian, like, wealthy bohemian vibe is what I love about Ebis. And I there's just something about the way that the streets are and the little canals that run through it, and different hill, that it's a little bit hillier, and it has, like, a lot of ivy growing on buildings and stuff, and that stuff really is appealing to me.
It's a good thing mine is right next door, so we can be neighbors.
Yeah
No more than 5 to 10 minutes away is Nakameguro, which I think is where I'd want to settle down. There's a really small stream that runs through there, and cherry blossoms that grow along it. And yeah, the shops that are there are just so nondescript. They're not advertising, they're not in your face. They're all one of a kind places, you know, and they're really spread out. So it does feel residential, but yet every block or two, you do have a cool clothing shop or an artisan making something or a chocolatier. And I just feel if I lived there, it'd be really fun to like go try those places. And it's like perfect place to like skateboard or ride a bike. You know, it's really smooth and it's not overly crowded. And it is next to Ebis, which is a little bit bigger and getting closer to Shibuya. You know, it's, I like this location. I like the surrounding neighborhoods too. So yeah, Nakameguro and Ebis, if you don't know those two already, that means you haven't listened to our podcast enough. But also, if you're ever coming out here, I definitely recommend going to those two places. And I think you'll see, if you get off at Ebis Station, that area is kind of like not that different from Shibuya or anything. But I really recommend venturing just 2 minutes away from there, you know?
Just go in the neighborhoods. Like, just go down a street, you know, and, like, check it out. Yeah. I mean,
the side of Ebis you like a lot, right?
I just like walking around Ebis. Like, every time I walk there, I just feel like I feel at home in some ways, you know, which is kind of weird. But maybe it's because I spent a lot of time there on my first trip. But it just, there's a lot of like, I like the quiet. It's in the busy, busy. You were kind of saying this in Nakameguro. It's like on one side of the street, it's like busy city. Mm. The other side of the street's this beautiful canal with, you know, in the springtime, there's cherry blossoms. Summertime, it's green. Yeah. You know, I think that Ebis has that too, you know, like you could be on like the main drag, which is like city and supermarkets and stuff like that. Then you go in those back streets and you find capitals or you find like little bars or you
lots
find
of
like
secrets,
little restaurants. Yeah.
Yeah. So check those two places out. And I think that's a wrap.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Japan 2.0. Go back to our back episodes. We have a lot on Tokyo. We have a lot on, our favorite neighborhoods, and I think you'd really get a kick out of those. So if you like this episode, you can find us all over the internet at Japan 2.0. We're on Instagram. That's where you see the most of our, you know, a lot of our journey has been documented on there. So
yeah,
we'll probably be posting things in the next couple of days. If you want to see the battle, the sing-off
during this
kind of like battle, you could go find that photo.
Yeah, you check our Instagram. It's going to be like, this episode is probably going to come out a month after our Tokyo trip, you know?
Mm.
So you have to go back about a month in time. But go on Instagram, go back a month in time. You'll see our donuts that we ate and the bus waiting station and this singing battle that's still going on.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Not a lot of singing for two singing groups battling, though, huh?
Yeah. Find us and rate us on your podcast player of choice. You know, rating us really helps with like our... our ability
growing
to
our
like,
audience.
Yeah, we're trying to grow our audience this year. You know, it's kind of one of our goals. You know, at first we were going to set it up, but now we want, you know, more people to listen. And so, you know, we thank all of our longtime listeners. You know, don't forget to tell your friends about our podcast if they're interested in Japanese culture and Japanese travel. And until next time, see you from Tokyo.
Stay cool.
Sign out.
Yeah, peace.
ドアも閉じることは